Welcome to the Cake Adjacent Podcast, a once a week-ish update on all things food, family, community, gardening, whatever. We call it Sidecar. If it has to do with the rituals around food and holidays, making food or taking it places, or remembering what we were eating during important times in our lives, we'll talk about it here. I am your host and bestie, Jen Coleslaw, along with Pete, who is bumping into everything on the desk, coming to you from the incredibly damp and uncomfortable winter suburbs of Northern Virginia. Hello, friends. I cannot stop thinking about coconut cake, and let me tell you why. It isn't because it was 77 degrees in Virginia last Friday, January 26th, the year of our Lord 2024. I had to think about that. And I wore shorts and a t-shirt to the post office in January. It was because I had had kind of a rough week, and coconut cake is my reward for when I have to do hard things. I got coconut cake after being stuck in the ER for a week after getting IV antibiotics every 12 hours, and Catherine sent me coconut cupcakes in the mail that she made from scratch after my surgery. And Fatness and I would often get coconut cake on our way home after our radiation appointments. So I spent all day and part of the night in the ER last Thursday night, and I am fine, but the doctors had a concern. I had had several days of severe vertigo and over a week of abdominal pain, which I thought was just from eating peanuts. And so I went to see my primary care doctor, and she did not like what she saw, and she sent me right to the Kaiser version of the ER. They tested me for a heart attack, a stroke, a brain tumor, blocked arteries. I don't even know what else. They tested me for liver and kidney failure and cancer to all of those organs, pancreatitis, appendicitis, and pretty much looking for anything that could be found between my pelvis and my brain. The good news is they didn't find anything super scary that needed immediate hospitalization, except maybe gallstones or a problematic gallbladder, which I'll have to go back in for and have an ultrasound. And I've already got that scheduled in 2 weeks because unless it's an emergency, nothing happens very quickly anymore. I also need to have 2 more MRIs on my neck and spine, but again, those are scheduled out almost a month at this point. But while I was in the ER from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. with nothing to do, I had time to think about how lucky I am to have health insurance that covered 2 CT scans, 2 EKGs, a boatload of blood tests, a brain MRI, and I didn't even have to think about how I was going to pay for all that. But I did think about it. I thought about how other people survive without insurance in this country. I thought about how, yes, we pay for this insurance through Ben's work, and it isn't cheap, but damn, the most that we're going to pay for a day in the ER might be a $50 copay, and it hurt my heart to think about people who don't have that luxury, and I put that in air quotes, thank you. And I thought about how the people of Gaza are surviving without hospitals, medication, bandages, water, food. About how parents in Gaza are surviving without their children, and how children are surviving without their parents. And I thought about whether or not we're okay with the amount of indiscriminate devastation the Israeli army is visiting upon Gaza with our country's approval, because I'm not. I had a lot of time to think. Anywho, file this under things that I did not know but found out about this week and kind of wish I didn't know. First up, the reason that lethal injection drugs are in short supply is because pharmaceutical companies are blocking states from using them to kill people by lethal injection. But I find it ironic, at least I think it's irony, that pharmaceutical companies have no problem keeping drugs from people to keep them alive, all in the name of profit. And don't even get me started on the opiate crisis, which practically wiped out a generation of Americans, which is now pitching into the other direction, and people in intractable pain can't get pain relief. Do not misunderstand me. I am 150% anti-death penalty in any case. But I think it is really something bonkers that drug companies take a moral stand on the death penalty, but not on anything else. And commercial pilots who have a history of seeking help for mental health issues run the risk of losing their pilot's license. How do I know this? Because last week, a pilot flew a small plane into East Texas and crashed it, leaving a suicide note behind. And a creator I follow on TikTok who is starting a nonprofit to help create a network of pilots who would volunteer to fly women from abortion-unsafe states to states where they can get the health care they need, had his pilot's license under review because he had sought out therapy during the pandemic. Do we really want commercial pilots to suffer in silence or lose their livelihood? Now, the FAA claims on their website that this rarely happens, that a pilot would be grounded, but that is absolutely not what pilots are saying, and who would risk it? How fucked up is that? And then something else I found out today, and that is that Virginia is the only state in the United States that refuses to cover repetitive strain injury under a workers' comp injury. The only state. We have the Democrats hold the House of Delegates and the Senate, and they killed that bill. Anyway, this isn't something new, but something that's bothering me enough so that I'm going to say something about it. You know how people send you all kinds of funny Instagram reels and Facebook stories and maybe TikToks and things like that? And maybe it's like a cat that does parkour all over the house, breaking every single dish on the counter, or it's a bird that swears a lot or whatever. Do you ever see who the content creator of that little snippet of video was? Okay, I'm going to get back to that. So I don't make money on the podcast or on things that I post on social media. I have a very small following on the subscription service of Patreon, which I'm so grateful for, and I love you all, to help offset the costs, but that's it. But most content creators make money on TikTok and Facebook and Instagram and Twitter based on how many views their videos get, and the higher their views, the more money they get, and the more opportunities for sponsorships and pro deals and things like that they get. So when an account called something like, and I'm just making these up, Funny Recipes 571 co-ops one of the deliberate and well-thought-out cooking and food history content that a creator wrote and filmed and edited, and Funny Recipes 571 sends it out on their own channel, the original creator doesn't get any views from that, but the account that stole that content does. So please, before you share content from Instagram or TikTok, see it if it's one of those accounts that actually creates content or an account that steals it. And stop following the accounts that steal content. Every time you watch a reel under the name of one of those non-creator accounts, you're complicit in the theft of that work. And you see it a lot, especially I do, probably because I look at a lot of pet and video animal videos. You see it a lot with the pet and animal videos, crazy animal videos, or funny cat videos, or whatever. And all you need to do is try to source the material, people. If you see something you want to share and you can tell it was not the original creator, you can check in the comments to see if they tacitly tagged the creator. Sometimes they'll tag them, but they won't actually tag them correctly. It'll just say, you know, @Jen Coleslaw. So it won't actually go back to me, but you can tell that that was originally my creation. But you can also just search in the app for whatever it is you're looking at. Like, dog won't leave the swimming pool will eventually get you to the original video of who filmed and edited and put up on social media that funny video of that golden retriever that was in the swimming pool and refused to get out. It's one of my favorites. So the too long didn't listen is support content creators by sharing original content directly from them, not from contents that aggregate or steal content or only tacitly give credit to the original creators. In other news, I went and I got my hair cut and colored over the weekend, and I have a really hard time getting the courage up to go sit in a chair for 2 or more hours, even though I have the best time when I go, because I've been going to the same stylist, Lizzie, who is now the manager, thank you very much, for almost 8 years. I've been following her to at least three different hair cutteries. And if you ever think that there aren't talented colorists and stylists at a place like a hair cuttery, I am someone who can absolutely prove you wrong. And I just love her, but my anxiety so often gets the best of me, but not this weekend. We got all caught up on the family drama from both of us, because we both have crazy families. And then I told her about how a car drove off the pier on Saturday in Virginia Beach, and she told me about the 40-car pileup in the fog on the Bay Bridge. And that's the Bay Bridge in Maryland, by the way. And if you don't know what that bridge is, I suggest you Google it, because it's the only bridge that I'm afraid of. I showed her some of the ridiculous bird videos that our bird buddy, bird feeder, is capturing, and we talked about the Taylor Swift football playoffs, and it was like a really good time. Plus, there's a tacos and tequila place going in right next door. I don't care about tequila. Oh, look at that. My computer is telling me I'm late for a meeting in 2 weeks. I don't really care about tequila, but I do like tacos. And in other news, I am opting out of the annual trip to San Diego for the third year in a row, but Catherine is coming down again, and maybe we will finally get those treasure boxes together since she knows where everything is. I'm so excited to see her. She seems to always know. She's got like this sixth sense, and she knows when I need her. I so appreciate that. Okay, so how about we wrap up the food holidays and I give you a little hint of what is on tap for February, and then I remind you about Rabbit, Rabbit, Rabbit. And I would also like to remind you that I'm still taking suggestions for our very own augmented food and celebration holiday calendar. So if you have suggestions for the rest of this year and next year's calendar, which I will literally make into a calendar, both a paper calendar and a digital calendar, and make it available, just send it along. I'm going to post a Google form on my social media and in my link tree, which you can get to at linktree.com/JenColeslaw. And it's on my profile on Twitter too, in my link tree. Anyway, so I wrote this yesterday, which was Monday. And I'm still going to go ahead and read it because I think it's important. Yesterday was Monday, January 29th, and it was National Corn Chip Day. And if there was one snack that defined my childhood, it's Fritos. And we never had them at our house, but the Roaches always had them at theirs. And I still love Fritos so much. They are absolutely my favorite sandwich chip, and I especially love them with chili and with soup, and with bologna sandwiches, and with ham sandwiches, and with peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And I love them with dip. My favorite dip, since you asked, because I know some of you were going, oh, I wonder what our favorite dip is. It's the bacon horseradish dish dip from Hell of a Good Dip. Bacon horseradish. It's also was yesterday Buckeyes Day for Lauren, who is one of our listeners. And if you're not familiar with this homemade delicacy, it's chocolate around a ball of peanut butter. And they're so good. And honestly, I don't think that the ones at stores are nearly as good as the ones that somebody makes for you with love. It's also Carnation Day. And even though a lot of people think that it's a cheap florist flower, I am a huge lover of carnations. I think they smell delicious. They last a long time in a vase. They aren't poisonous to pets or people. They are inexpensive, and all of these things make them a quality bouquet. I will, however, say that I don't like the dyed carnations, the ones that are like rainbow colored or blue. Tuesday, the 30th, which is today, National Croissant Day. And let me tell you about something I discovered first at Imperfect Foods, which I'm kind of down on these days because they merged with Misfit Foods, which I had already dumped because they were terrible. But I can talk about that another day. But now I can get this at Whole Foods for the same money, so I just get it there. And that is croissant bread. And it is a loaf of bread that is made out of croissant. And it is sliced, and it makes the very best toast. And it's honestly easier to toast and eat than an actual croissant. And I haven't tried making French toast out of it, and I think it would actually be too tough because nothing beats that Trader Joe's brioche. But for one robust piece of toast as a snack with butter and strawberry jam, it is just delish. Today is also Plan a Vacation Day, and you know what? I am so ready for a vacation. Here are three places I'd like to go. Ireland, Scotland, and the UK, sort of as one big trip. I'd like to go to the Cincinnati Zoo, and I'd like to go to the beach, anywhere. I want a week at a teeny little beach cottage, or really just a teeny little lake cottage, or just a teeny little quiet cottage with a fireplace and some puzzles and maybe some snow. And I just would really like a vacation. I haven't pined for a vacation in I don't know how long. And I am really feeling the need for a vacation. Anyway, Wednesday is the last day of the month, and it's Brandy Alexander Day. And I would like to remind you, like I do every year, that Feist has a song about Brandy Alexanders, which I love. But I don't love Brandy Alexanders, which are cognac, creme de cacao, cream, and a little bit of nutmeg. And that is just way too much action for me. I did read a funny little piece about how that was actually like an appetizer before dinner because it's so rich. That's not really my idea of a good drink. It's also National Hot Chocolate Day. And let me tell you about how I like to make my own personal hot cocoa, because I make it from scratch. I do not make it from a little envelope and add hot water because that's just cheap and gross. I use whatever unsweetened cocoa I have in the house, whether it's Dutch process or whatever, and then I add in a tablespoon of sugar and I mix it up, and then I warm up a cup of milk, adding in a few drops of milk into the bottom of my cup, which has the cocoa in it. And then while the milk is warming up, I stir the cocoa and the little few drops of milk around in my cup until it makes a chocolate paste. So it's all mixed up. And then when the milk is hot, but not scalded, I pour in the milk, which then the chocolate incorporates really well. And then I put in a drop of vanilla extract, because everything is improved with vanilla extract, trademark, and then some whipped cream. And finally, it is Hug an Economist Day. And Ladybug was our household economist, and I miss her reports. And despite some issues with high interest rate crippling a lot of families, ours included, big companies continue to make bank through the grocery stores at the expense of everyday Americans, who include liberals and Democrats alike. The economy is doing a hell of a lot better than the right would have you believe. So don't get caught up in a doom spiral. Hold corporations' feet to the fire on their high prices. It's greed. It's not inflation. Okay. So hopefully you're listening to this before midnight on the 31st, so you can remember to either set an alarm or a calendar reminder for you to do your rabbits first thing on Thursday, February 1st. We do this so we have good luck all month. And it's leap year, so that means we have an extra day to contend with, so don't take any chances. We have a lot of friends, some of which you know, some you don't, who need our love and our support. And one way we can give it to them is by making sure we all have good luck in February. So now let's hit up the month-long food holidays for February, starting off with Berry Fresh Month. And we should start seeing some of those delicious strawberries from Florida coming north soon. And I cannot wait. And I remember when I visited my bestie and college roommate Lars and her family in Florida for spring training. And we had the greatest time. We went to some Amish markets. Who knew that the Amish were so prevalent in Sarasota, Florida, but they are. And we just got all of these just gigantic, juicy, delicious strawberries. And I think about them all the time. It's also celebration of Chocolate Month. It's Great American Pies Month. It's National Cherry Month. And no, it is not, because that really should be in July, but whatever. Let's call it Chocolate Covered Cherries Month. It's National Fiber Focus Month. It's National Hot Breakfast Month. And do you remember the Cream of Wheat song? My mother used to sing it to me every morning, despite the fact that I hate cream of wheat, and I'm pretty sure it's wallpaper paste, but it went like this. It's cream of wheat weather, so I repeat, and guard your family with good cream of wheat. Oh my God, it was terrible. I think Mom still likes cream of wheat, but I do not like cream of wheat. I like oatmeal, though. That's my hot breakfast. hot breakfast cereal anyway. I guess hot breakfast would count, really, any kind like eggs or French toast or pancakes or whatever. Anyway, it's also National Grapefruit Month, and I used to love, 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 love ruby red grapefruits, but because I'm on a statin, no more grapefruits for me. It is National Snack Food Month, which can be kind of anything, right? Like anything you love is a good snack food. And despite Darth sleeping away February, it is Potato Lovers Month, but maybe we can change that in our calendar next year to be mid-March to mid-April to celebrate Darth waking up from hibernation. And it is also Sweet Potato Month. Big fan of sweet potatoes. The first week of February is Shape Up with Pickles time, and I honestly still do not know what that means. Should I Google it? Let me Google it. Okay, please hold. Okay, I'm back. I Googled it, and no one else knows either. So let's put a pin in that, and maybe we'll rename it something else for next year, because that's just ridiculous. I Googled it, and like nobody knew. Everybody else was Googling it at the same time. Anyway. Now, Thursday, February 1st, is Baked Alaska Day, which I think is awesome, but I don't think anyone makes it anymore, so that's definitely going to be on the chopping block. But have you ever had one? I think I've only had it once. I think Catherine made it one year. And I think it pretty much destroyed our kitchen in Connecticut, but it was delicious. It's like it's sort of like the original turducken, but for dessert. It's a layer of cake, a layer of ice cream, and then it's meringue on top. And I cannot remember the last time I actually saw that in a restaurant. Friday, the 2nd of February, is Heavenly Hash Day, which is chocolate ice cream with almonds and marshmallows, which is a lot like Rocky Road ice cream. One is smoother and one is crunchier. But Heavenly Hash is also a type of ambrosia salad, but I have never seen it called that until this year. I don't know if I just wasn't looking for it or it suddenly came up to the top of everyone's consciousness or something, but it will always be ambrosia salad to me. It will never be called Heavenly Hash. Heavenly Hash will always be chocolate ice cream with nuts and marshmallows in it. I'm sorry, I don't make the rules. It's also Crepes Day, and I like crepes. And I think I said last year that I had this idea to open a chain of restaurants called Crepe Anne, Crepe May, Crepe Cod, Crepe Canaveral, Crepe Mendocino, The False Crepe. You get the picture. Anyway, it would serve crepes. And everywhere where there was a cape, there would be a crepe something. You know, I have all of these really great ideas. I'm starting to realize that I have these gigantic, huge ideas. And then I have like no way of actually like filling in the bottom of the great idea, which is the work. And so I'm trying this new thing where I have a really great, big, huge idea, but I figure out where the beginning of that idea is. And then I start and I try to build it from there. We'll see how I do. Finally, Saturday is Carrot Cake Day, and you know how I feel about carrot cake. If you're new to the pod, then you know that I cannot find a carrot cake worthy of my fork here in Northern Virginia, and that I cannot get a recipe that is awesome as the carrot cake from Pastiche in Providence, and how I will forever be pining for that carrot cake until I die. Anyway. That's the food holidays and the rabbits for the week and the month and everything. And let's try to remember to send some love and energy to all the people that we don't know in Gaza and Israel wishing for a ceasefire, to Fred and Ella and Kathy, and to Andy's fam, and to the family of the pilot who crashed his plane, and the family of the person who drove off the Virginia Beach pier into the ocean on Saturday, and to my mom recovering from her second cataract surgery, and to Kent, who had to do a hard thing last week, and he was so brave, and I was so proud of him, and to all my Amys that are struggling, and to the people who don't have health insurance but need MRIs and CAT scans and EKGs anyway. Thank you for your support of the podcast by listening and recommending it and rating it and by joining the Patreon. I'm going to leave you with a thought. I saw a lovely product this week when I was doing some Valentine's Day shopping. It was a company that makes these charms or pendants. They have like a metal backing and then a clear top. And then the, you know, underneath the clear top is like a little map or a, you send them a, it's like a little map of an important place in your life. And it, And the thing that I liked was that it was like a bracelet and it had three little charms on it. And one of the charms was this pendant that had the map. You give them the coordinates and they print out the exact location, and it's a little map. And then a little related charm was like, if you said, if your place was Provincetown, Cape Cod, and then you could get a little related charm, which is like a little lobster, or it's a nautical chart symbol, or it's a sand dollar, or it's a little pride flag. And then the third item is a little tag that you can have engraved with something. And I thought, man, I would love to have something like that. But then I was like, where's my special place? Where's my most special place that I would put the coordinates down? Is it Fenway Park? Is it my mom's old house in Lyme, Connecticut? Is it Providence? Is it my old house in Providence? Is it Wales? It's definitely not Virginia. Is it Hawaii? I don't know where it would be. Where would yours be? Anyway, I will see you next week or the week after. Who knows? I'm having a hard time doing weeklies these days because the legislative session is got me working and I'm still not feeling terrific. But until then, remember, it is getting lighter in the mornings and it's staying lighter later. And that is awfully nice. Don't forget that Valentine's Day is coming up in 2 weeks. And so if you need to send Valentine's to people, now is a good time to get that underway. And as I sit listening to these horrible, awful bills in the Virginia State Legislature where old white dudes are trying to take away the rights from women and people of color, and I am reminded every day that the only thing that you can do about awful people is not be one of them. I'll see you soon. Thank you.